how do you make a great connection with people? And as an exercise professional, obviously that's the most important thing. We can argue about, is it anatomy, is it physiology, is it nutrition, is it exercise, what is it? But ultimately, if I'm really good at my anatomy and I understand how the human body works, if I'm really good at physiology and I understand how the body systems work, if I'm really good at working out what's the best exercise and the best eating plan, that's all fine and wonderful. But if I can't communicate that effectively, if I can't make a connection with my client, with my members, then what's the point of having all of that knowledge? And one of the soft skills of being a exercise professional that unfortunately for me, I had to learn the hard way. Fortunately for you, you can learn from my mistakes. I used to think it was all about telling people what to do, preaching at them, teaching them. You should listen to me because I'm the expert. Now, there's two things very wrong with that. Of course, I wasn't the expert. I certainly didn't have enough knowledge, understanding of the human body to even begin to call myself an expert. And even after 40 plus years as an exercise professional who studies every day, learns every day, keeps doing ongoing training and education every day, I would still never, ever consider that I understand how the human body works. But the second part of that, of course, is I might think that I'm the expert and I tell people what to do. But here's the challenge. Most people don't like being told what to do. Would it be a much better idea as an exercise professional, parent, teacher, coach, to build a great connection with my client, my member, to create a relationship with them, and then we work this out together? And it's something that I wish I'd learned earlier in my career path. But when I did start to understand that everybody in front of me was a unique individual person, and it was my responsibility to treat them as a special, unique individual person and find out about them. And then, of course, would it be easier to help people if we know more about them? And of course, I learned the hard way that the answer is yes. So here's another great question. How do I build a connection, and is there a foolproof plan? And according to the experts, and this is why I always go to the experts, I often share with you that I study excellence. And excellence in communication, there's a few people that study this. This is what they do. There's behavioral scientists, of course, psychologists, psychiatrists, neuroscientists, so people that study the brain and how the brain affects our behavior. And those people are then called on by business, in particular people who want to sell a product or a service, because a business wants to find out, why do people buy things? What's the connection that we need to make with our customer or our client or our patient to make sure that they want to buy this product or service? Now, what's been interesting for me is that I've been studying in detail the excellence of communication, behavioral science, sales skills even. But what's really interesting is that there's books and seminars and workshops and conferences and experts and neuro-linguistic programming and psychiatry and psychology and behavioral science on how to communicate. But it's very rare that people communicate effectively. And me now realizing that that's the case, I'm of course would love to get better and better every day at what I do in communication. But as an exercise professional, I'm sure that you want to get better every day too. So I like to keep it really simple. And today's just about this very simple philosophy on connection. And it's come from behavioral scientists, from people who study how we connect with each other, on why do we connect. And there's a great question, what's the opposite to love? And most people would say hate. I either love somebody or I hate them. Well, again, the people that study the brain and the hormonal system will share with us that that's technically not true. Hormonally, that's not true. From our neurochemistry point of view, that's not true. Because if I love you, I have a really strong emotion for you. If I hate you, I have a really strong emotion for you. And there seems to be a fine line between love and hate. And if you've ever been through a breakup, you can love somebody one minute and hate them the next minute because you have an emotional connection to them. So the suggestion is that the opposite to love, could it be indifference? So I either love you, so I have really strong emotion for you, or I could hate you, I have really strong emotion for you. But if I'm indifferent to you, I don't care about you. It means nothing to me. And the really harsh example of this is if somebody in your life dies that you really love, that you really care about, it hurts. But We hear every day of people dying in a car accident or of a heart attack or an earthquake or a building falling down or something happens in the world where people die, and it doesn't hurt us. It doesn't. We don't have the feeling about it. We might go, oh, that's a bit sad. But compared to the feelings that we have when somebody that we love dies, we are indifferent to it. Another interesting example that was shared with me, if I find, and this is a harsh example, but it will perhaps help with the experience. If you find your partner in bed with your best friend, so you loved your partner and you loved your best friend, how do you feel about them now? Whoa, that's a really horrible experience. And if you've ever been through that, I can't imagine what that would be like. But here's a great question. Let's just say 10, 20, might take 30 years for this to happen. But you see the two of them together and they're happily married and they've got children together, or they're together and they've been living together for 30 years. And you've moved on, so you've found somebody else and you've got a different lifestyle and a different family and you love your life. And you come across these two people in the street and you go, oh, hi, how are you going? And there's no emotion. It's just, hi, how are you going? They're just like two other people, like strangers almost. So you've now become indifferent to them. So the question is, if I'm going to be in business, if I'm going to be in a relationship with somebody, so whether it's a professional relationship, a personal relationship, a business relationship, my sporting coach or my athlete, if I'm an exercise professional and I'm in a relationship with my client, where do I need to be? And of course, the opposite to indifference, because if I'm indifferent to my partner, how's my relationship going? If I'm indifferent to my athlete, if I'm indifferent to my client, if I'm indifferent to the people in my life, I don't care about them. So obviously I can't be indifferent. So the opposite is that I need to love them. And it's interesting because the experts have a definition of love, which a bit technical, but I quite like it. And it's easy to remember because it is an acronym, a root. How do we define love? And the suggestion from the experts is it's a root. A-R-A-U-T, a root. So the A stands for acknowledgement. And of course, if I acknowledge you, then we have a connection. If I don't acknowledge that you're there, or I'll go a step further, we usually acknowledge people by their name. So, hello, Rowie, how are you? For most people, it's the most important sound that we ever hear, because that's who we identify, or how we are identified by our name. I'll use another extreme example. If your current partner that you sleep with started calling you by somebody else's name, how would you feel? Whoa. So acknowledgement is a really important part of a relationship. To acknowledge somebody, so that's a big smile, maintain eye contact, open body language, actively listen, and show that you care. I acknowledge that you are a human being. I acknowledge that you're there. I acknowledge that you have a name. I acknowledge that you have a right to have an opinion. Is all part of the A of a root, which is acknowledgement. So a great question to ask is, do you know all the names of your clients? Do you know about their family, the things that are important to them? Do they have pets? Do they like to travel? What kind of food do they like to eat? So you're not just acknowledging them as a person, that they have a name and that they're your client, but you're acknowledging that they have a life and they live it and they've got an opinion and you are now part of their life. So always a great question that I've asked myself, Rowie, how much acknowledgement are you giving your clients? And of course, with that would come praise, would come compliments, would come respect, and would come kindness. So if I'm going to acknowledge you as a person and that I like and respect you, then of course I'm not going to gossip about you, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm not going to steal from you. I'm going to treat you as a beautiful human being, because that's what you are. So the A of a root is acknowledgement. R obviously is respect. And what does that mean to you, to be respected? And we could say, well, you know, I love you, but I don't respect you. Could it be better to be the other way around? I respect you even if I don't love you anymore. I respect you even if I don't like you. And that's a really interesting headspace to be in from a business point of view. If you love what you do, you're passionate about what you do, you're following your core values, and I always ask those questions, what do you live for and what would you die for? And the things that you would die for, people might not like you for that, but is it possible that they would respect you for that because you have core values that you would never negotiate? So if I'm going to respect my client, do I need to respect the fact that they have a different opinion from me, that they've got a different upbringing from me, that they've got different ideas and convictions and opinions to me, and do I need to respect that? In the simple format of good manners, I'm obviously an old lady, and I might be living in the past, but I love it when people say please and thank you, and they apologize and they admit when they're wrong. I love it when the manners when you walk into a room and everybody stands up. I love it if there's a woman coming into the room and the men offer their chair. Now, I don't like to sit down, but if somebody offers their chair to me, I'm so appreciative of it. If somebody opens the door for me, I'm so appreciative of it. Now, I can open the door myself. I get that. I just love that, those signs of respect. And in a client relationship, in a family relationship, in an athlete-coach relationship, do we need to be respectful of people? I'll give you another example of that. I've been in my profession now for 40 plus years. There's people who come into our profession and they've been here for 5 minutes, and I see them be really disrespectful to their boss or to their somebody that's been doing this for a really long time. Now, I get now that people are going to disrespect me. I just understand that's how the world is. But I'll use a different example. My gorgeous husband came in, who not only has been doing this for as long as I have, 40 plus years, he's got a master's degree in exercise science. I don't know many people that have a greater understanding of anatomy and physiology than he does, and a more simple way of explaining it. He's been a very successful business person, and he's earned multi-millions and millions and millions of dollars doing what most people only dream of. He was one of the first sports strength and conditioning coaches in Australia. He's a beautiful human being. He's got a great sense of humour. He's really intelligent. Now, see, I'm really respectful of my husband. I find it really fun. I have to find it funny, because otherwise I find it really sad that people come into contact with Cayman and they're just disrespectful of his past, of his knowledge, of his understanding of the exercise profession, of his understanding of how to train elite athletes. And he doesn't argue with anybody, of course. It's just interesting to watch people preach at him about what's right and wrong without ever finding out what his opinion is or why he believes what he does or what the experience that he's had that's led him to the place that he's at. And I use that as an example because if you have a client that is more mature than you, older than you, has lived a life, I often see young people treating older people really disrespectfully. If a person's been living on the planet for 60, 70, 80 years, is it possible that they've learned some stuff, and do you want to find out? So acknowledge that somebody's a beautiful person, or acknowledge that they exist. Be really respectful of the experiences that they've had and the person that they are. The next part of a root, A-R-A-U-T, is acceptance. And I'll use, again, a really interesting example of that. I have a lot of women who share with me, my husband has told me that he'd love me more if I had lost weight. Or husbands that say to me, my wife tells me that I have to come to the gym and exercise because I'm too fat, and she can't love me because I'm too fat. I'd like you more if you didn't smoke, or I'd like you more if you didn't come home late, or I'd like you more if you didn't train, play your sport. All the things that we say to people that isn't accepting who they are. Now, I use smoking as a particular one because I'm not a fan. I've never put a cigarette in my mouth, and I would never smoke, and I understand that it can do some really serious damage to your body. But I have no right to judge why people smoke. I don't want to breathe in cigarette smoke, but I accept that people have the right to be a smoker, and I know people who absolutely love smoking. It's the special part of their day. It helps relieve their stress. They're addicted to it. One of the biggest, highest cases of rushes of dopamine from a chemical comes from nicotine. Yet we become very non-accepting of certain behaviors. living in New Zealand, I've had experience with lots of gang members, with drug dealers, and I'm not sharing with you that they're the people that I hang out with, but when I come across those people and they come into my life, I'm very accepting of that. We all have different upbringings and different reasons why we do things. And gang members in particular have shared with me that they were brought up in such a horrible environment as children that the only place that they felt accepted, which is why I'm using the example, was in that gang environment. It's a basic human need. We need to feel accepted. So if you ever say to somebody, I'd love you more if, or I'd be your friend if, or, you know, I can't respect you because, that makes us feel unaccepted. And particularly in a gym environment, which is where I had to learn this the hard way, people don't like, or there's a lot of people that don't like coming to the gym because they don't feel that they will be accepted there. I'm too fat, or I don't have big enough muscles, or I don't have ripped abdominals, or I have to look good before I can go to the gym. And one of the things that I learned the hard way but very quickly is that people loved coming to my health clubs or loved being in having me as their personal exercise coach because I was completely accepting of everything that they'd been through. I'll give you another really interesting example of that is I've shared that a lot of my clients had challenges with food. So I had clients that were anorexics and bulimics and exercise bulimics and people that were morbidly obese. And they all shared with me, all of them shared with me that the reason that they trained with me, that I was totally accepting of everything that they ever told me. So if somebody told me they ate a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I would say, well, did you enjoy it? Was it yummy? I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. How many pieces were there? If somebody said to me, I ate two packets of Tim Tams, I'd say, what kind were they? And can you bring me a couple next time? I had clients that cut themselves, burnt themselves, abused themselves, tried to commit suicide. All things that happen when you don't love your life very much and you don't have a great relationship with yourself, which then plays out in your poor relationship with food. But for me, it was never about what they did. It was that I love you and I accept you. And that's why a root is such a beautiful part of, well, it's the definition of love from a chemical scientific point of view, is I acknowledge you, I respect you, and I accept you regardless. So anybody that's in your life, regardless of what they've done in their life or where they've come from or where they've been, can you still be accepting of them? It's a really interesting question. Obviously, understanding, and I'm going to share understanding with you very personally, because for me, I'm about to give you the ultimate tool of communication. It's not my tool. I just wish I got it earlier in my life. How many times have you had an argument? and the arguments ended like this, which is, you just don't understand. It might have been with your children, with your family, with your parents, with your partner, with your coach, with your teacher, with your student. You just don't understand. And that seems to be the communication that breaks up a relationship, is that I don't understand. It was shared with me the hard way and very harshly that, Roe, you should never be able to understand. So, for example, if I say to a man, I understand how you feel or I understand what you're going through, how could I? I'm a woman. If a man says to me, I completely understand how you feel, how could he? And there are some women, just as I said that, that you've gone, how can they possibly understand? They're a bloke. And I'll use this example, I cannot say to somebody, I understand how you feel if they're morbidly obese. I've never been morbidly obese. I can't say to somebody, I understand how you feel. It was interesting though, because because I have a lot of people in my circle of influence now who are psychologists and psychiatrists and neuroscientists. And they all share with me again, some of them quite aggressively, that even if you've been through the experience that the person's been through, so if you have been morbidly obese or you still are morbidly obese and you say to somebody, I completely understand how you feel, the suggestion is that that is disrespectful. So I go back to the root of respect, because I don't understand what you're going through. So I'll use the example. I had a lady come to my health club. She was 5 foot tall and 120 kilos. So if you can picture that for me, that's a little short lady who's quite large. And she taught me so much in one afternoon. She came to the health club and it took her 9 times to walk in the door. So I'll just use that as another side story. She she wanted to come to the gym to exercise, but she felt so unaccepted at a gym because she was 5 foot tall and 120 kilos. She said the first time she thought about coming to the gym, she got in the car, put her seatbelt on, got out of the car and went back inside. She said the next time she got in the car, turned the engine off, went back inside. That happened 9 times. The 9th time she came to the gym, and this is just a communication skill that I'm sure you'll put into your business if you haven't already, when somebody walks into your facility, the frontline person is obviously the most important because it's the first impression. And in all of my health clubs all over the world, the first impression has always been to come out from behind the desk, shake somebody's hand, give them a huge big smile, say, thank you for coming to the health club today. Have you been here before? And obviously Gina shared that she hadn't been here before. She said, oh, it's a funny story. I've been here 8 times before. This is my 9th time and I've just walked in the door. So I started building a relationship with her, and stupid me, this is where I'm hoping that you learn from my experiences. There were lots of personal trainers at the time. We called them personal trainers, not personal exercise coaches or results coaches. There were elite athletes, and there were people who were bodybuilders and, you know, gorgeous, gorgeous people. But there was one girl that wasn't the norm. She was about 80 kilos and, you know, wasn't in that, you know, perfect peak physical condition. So I put Gina in with her for her initial chat. And after about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of that initial chat, there's a huge bang on my office door. Gina comes into my office. I was managing the health club. She comes into my office and she said, why did you put me in with that stupid girl? I asked her what happened. And this is what happened. Remember, Gina's 120 kilos. This girl was about 80 kilos. And she'd said to Gina, I completely understand how you feel. I've been, or I am, overweight too. Whew. Please consider that for a minute. If you're 120 kilos, what is 80 kilos? It's your dream. It's your goal. It's what you want to do. So this, and Gina put it beautifully, this stupid girl said to Gina, I understand how you feel. I'm overweight too. And I learned a very big lesson that day. The other example I always use is a woman said to me once in an initial consultation that I was having with her that her mother had died of Alzheimer's. And I stupidly said, I understand how you feel. My father died of Alzheimer's. And she absolutely nailed me, and I'm so glad that she did, because she said, how do you understand? The relationship between a mother and a daughter is completely different to a relationship between a daughter and a father. So don't try and tell me that you understand. And I'm so appreciative and so grateful that she put it so harshly, because I learned the lesson really quickly. So the suggestion is this: if you want to build great connection and great relationships with people, is that the understanding part is not something that you ever do. But it goes like this: I don't understand, but I want to. So go back to the argument. You're having an argument with your parent or your daughter or your next door neighbor or your lover or your friend, and they say, you just don't understand. And you drop your voice down and look them in the eye and very beautifully and calmly say, no, I don't. How could I possibly understand? I'm not you. How could I understand? You're a man, I'm a woman. How could I understand? I'm the mum, you're the daughter. How could I understand? I'm the wife, you're the husband. But I love you and I really want to understand, so please talk to me. It's the most beautiful communication tool that I've ever been given. It's worked for me every single time since I've been using it. And there's that great rule or requirement, or it's the 7 habits of highly effective people. And one of that's a book written by Dr. Stephen Covey. And the suggestion is that you seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. And I share that with you again from my heart to yours, that when you say to somebody, I don't understand, please explain how you're feeling. Please help me to understand, that shut up and listen, because it's not your turn to talk now. It's time to really understand, and how can you understand if you're doing the talking? So it's been a very helpful tool for me as an exercise professional. The last part of a route, so we've got acceptance, respect, acknowledgement first, respect, acceptance, understanding, and the 5th one is touch. And I want to share with you a very important story about that. A lot of people ask me in the MAX program, when you do your final exercise session, there's a very strong suggestion that you include a neck and shoulder massage when you train somebody, when you exercise with somebody, that you include a really good, strong, professional neck and shoulder massage. Now, I'll quickly go into the technical reasons for that. Obviously, when I've lifted heavy, I'm going to have tight muscles around my neck and spine. So there's a technical reason for doing that. Number two is that if I'm all tense and I'm about to have a stretching session, I'm less likely to be stretched effectively. So wouldn't it be good to loosen that up? The third part of that, of course, is that it feels good. And for a lot of people, and certainly in my career path and many thousands of exercise professionals and personal exercise coaches have shared this with me, is it's been the reason why people keep coming back to their exercise session, because they love the massage that goes on throughout the session. Also, elite athletes, the top athletes in the world, all have a massage therapist. Now, some of them may choose not to use the massage therapist, but most of them are, it's recommended by their coach and by their exercise physiologist and by their sports strength and conditioning coach that they train really hard. They might have a cold bath or a hot bath, hot shower, and then go and have a massage. It's part of the athletic process. A lot of people share with me, Rowie, I don't want to touch people. People don't like to be touched. I'm going to put that into a little bit of perspective when it comes to a root. So acknowledgement, respect, acceptance, understanding. In a love relationship, and I'll use your partner, what happens if your partner stops touching you? So you might say to me, I don't like to be touched. But could that mean that you don't like to be touched by me, or you don't like to be touched by strangers, or you don't like to be touched by people that you don't have a connection with? But ultimately, it's a basic human need. And the research on this is, for me, obviously this research will never be done again, but there was an interesting research study done on orphaned babies. And they were in an orphanage. And there was two groups of babies. One group of babies was well looked after physically. So they would, their nappies were changed, they were fed, they were warm, they had lovely clothes to wear, and they had a lovely environment. The second group of babies had all of that, but on top of that, they were cuddled. So this group didn't get cuddled. They got fed and they got clothed and they got their nappy changed and they were warm and they had a lovely environment, but they didn't get cuddled. This group were loved and cuddled. They were touched. Lovingly touched, caringly touched. And if I ask you the question, what happened to the babies that weren't cuddled, it's a pretty intense answer. Those babies died. That's why that research will never be done again. It's a basic human need for us to be touched. And if we don't get touched, physically touched, emotionally touched, romantically touched, if we don't have people in our life who are cuddling us and kissing us and making us feel loved, then we die. And we might not die physically, but we certainly die emotionally and mentally because we need it. So I'm going to share with you a very important story for me about massage at the end of an exercise session. It was a very, very warm day in Queensland, very sweaty, hot day. And one of my clients, he used to come straight after work. He was a tradesman, had his own business. And he would, I think they knock off 3-4 o'clock, and he would come straight to the gym and we would do our exercise session together. And I've always included a head and neck massage. And for some of my clients, I would put a towel around their foot and give them a foot massage. It was just, I would find out what my client liked, and I would, that would be something that I included in my sessions. As another quick side note, there were certainly people that said to me they didn't want to be massaged, but there's a whole heap of people that after I had been connected with them after a period of time, all said to me, you massage all of your other clients, Rory, why don't you massage me? And my answer would be, you told me that you didn't want to be touched. It's just interesting. We've got to build a connection, obviously. Anyway, so it was a really hot day. He was a really cool guy. Didn't say very much. He would come in, do his training session, didn't really answer many questions, but I felt connected to him and he kept coming. He never missed a session. And we'd occasionally exchange a couple of jokes or, we'd, you know, the music would be on, and because I would always have my client's music playing, so we'd have a bit of a sing together because we're about the same age, so we'd appreciate each other's music. Anyway, this one afternoon, I was giving him he was facing away from me and I was massaging his neck and shoulders. And then I put my hand here to hold his head while I massaged at the back of his neck. And there was what I thought was sweat on me. And so I got the towel and went round in front of him to wipe his, because it was a hot day, I presumed that he was sweating. And he wasn't sweating, he was crying. There was tears pouring down his face. So I quickly turned him around because a busy gym at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in you know, peak time, there was people everywhere, and here's this big buffy bloke and he had tears pouring out of his eyes. So I turned him around so nobody could see him and just sat down and kind of sat on my haunches and, what's going on, mate? And he said, Rowie, why do you think I come to train with you? And I was really stupid and naive. I said, to get fit and strong. That's why most people come and train with me. And I said, oh, you've told me that you've got a goal to run Gold Coast Marathon. And he said, no. He said, my life is lifting heavy things and getting puffed. He said, all day long, every day, I'm climbing up and down ladders. I'm running through building sites. I'm lifting heavy bags of stuff and heavy pieces of wood and heavy bricks and tiles. He said, I don't need to come here for the exercise. My life is exercise. And he said, I reckon I could probably train myself for the marathon because I've run a couple of those before. Why do you think I come here? I said, well, you better tell me because now I don't know. And he said, I'm divorced. My kids don't talk to me. I hang out my entire life with a bunch of blokes that smell and they abuse each other. He said, it's a bloke's thing. I said, nobody touches me. He said, you're the only person in my life. He said, I come here because every afternoon that I come here, you massage my neck and shoulders and it's the only physical touch I have. Now, you can take that as however you want to. There was nothing sexual about it. There was nothing. I didn't feel intimidated. I didn't feel like he was coming on to me. It was just an admission that touch, human touch, is really important. So however you touch your clients to show them that you are not indifferent to them. So, of course, handshaking is how we connect with someone with the first impression. So there's a really strong suggestion that you really know how to shake hands effectively. So you obviously you connect. When you shake hands, you connect webbing of your thumbs. Three solid shakes. Make sure that it's not wishy-washy. Don't be too overpowering and don't be soft and floppy. You want to make sure that you've got a really good handshake. And wherever we are in the world at the moment, there's some people that are banging elbows at the moment, and there's some people that, particularly this, as a woman, there's some men who are really uncomfortable about putting their hand forward because do I shake hands with the woman? Well, as a woman, I'm always the one that puts my hand forward so that the person doesn't feel uncomfortable to shake hands with me. But we do that, and from a touch point of view, often you won't do business with somebody that's got a really bad handshake, yeah? And if somebody's got a good solid handshake, it's the connection between you, the touch, that tells you a little bit more about that person. Right through to if your partner, the person that you love, that you sleep with, that you have an intimate physical relationship with, if they stop touching you, what's happened to that relationship? And I'll go a step further. This is, again, just one of those things that as an old lady living on the planet, I learned a very long time ago, that women need to feel loved to have sex and men need to have sex to feel loved. Now, there's a lot of argument about differences between men and women, but for me that was just really interesting to understand. So how do I, if I love a woman, how do I make her feel loved? How, if I want to have sex with a woman, she has to feel that I love her. And that means I need to acknowledge her, respect her, accept her, understand her, which I can't. So I'm going to say I don't understand, but please explain. And then the way that women like to be touched is usually very different than the way men like to be touched. I'll give you another really cool story about that. One of my clients was sharing with me that her husband was an asshole, and that's her quote, not mine. She was really angry with him. And I said, why is that? What's going on? It was a good advantage in the exercise session because the angrier she got, the harder she punched and the harder she trained. But she shared with me that every time her husband touched her, he wanted to have sex. And she was really angry about that, and it was obviously an emotional thing going on inside her. So I asked an interesting question, which was, when was the last time you touched him the way he likes to be touched? And very interestingly, she stopped what she was doing. She looked me in the eye, and again, this is her quote, not mine. She went, fuck. And I said, tell me about that. And she said, I get it. I just get it. What should I do? So we have this really fun experience when people say that when you're a personal exercise coach, it includes all sorts of things. Well, this is one of those really cool experiences. We went to Bras and Things, which is a lingerie type store, and we bought some really sexy lingerie. And I said, black or white? And she said, I think he likes white. And I learned that day how to do suspender stockings. At the time, I had never purchased those for myself. I had worn stockings before that stayed up by themselves, but certainly not that particular sexy style of stockings. We bought some candles. We bought some roast lamb because that was his favourite dinner. And I think, what was the music? It'll come to me in a minute. We bought a CD of his favourite romantic music. And we went home, she put the roast on, we had a practice with the clothing, it was a really fun experience. Anyway, I said, how does he like to be spoken to on the phone? And she said, oh, I can't do that, that's disgusting. And I said, no, how does he like to be spoken to on the phone? Remember, seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. And she said, okay, so what should I do? So we put together this little bit of a script, and she actually read it because we wrote it together because she was so nervous about it. And it was a little bit racy. And she called him at work. And he worked in Brisbane. And the health club and where she lived, my health club was very close to where she lived, which was Castledine in Brisbane, Australia. And she called him and kind of read this script to him. And I'd like you to imagine how long it took him to get home from the city to Castledine. She said, I'd like you to come home. And this is what I'd like to do to you, and etc. So I obviously left then. I also lost a client for nearly a year. That reconnected their relationship so beautifully because she touched him in the way he liked to be touched. And they had a really, there was nothing romantic about that evening, I've got to share with you. It was racy. And that's the thing that girls do. We share that kind of stuff. I don't know, blokes do too. But he then took her on an overseas holiday, and she said, we literally made love all over the world. We had this magnificent relationship. He now reconnected with his wife. He felt loved because he'd had great sex. So he wanted to now reciprocate. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen in every relationship. I'm just sharing with you that was a very special experience of somebody realizing that I need to be touched a certain way, but how about we need to find out what the other person likes as well? How does the other person want to be touched? How can we feel that, how can we make them feel acknowledged, respected, accepted, understood, and touched? And could that build a great relationship? So if you want to connect with people, if you want to connect with your clients, if you want to connect with your family, if you want to connect with your partner, do we need to find out the ways to do that? And ask yourself the question with all of your relationships, am I acknowledging this person, praising them, giving them compliments? Do they feel respected? Am I respecting what they do and where they come from and that they have an opinion? Am I accepting that they have the right to have an opinion? Am I not trying to tell them that I understand, but I'm actually aiming to understand by asking the question, I don't understand, so please tell me how you feel? And then how are we touching people emotionally and physically? Do we need to give people a massage? Do we need to shake their hand? Do we need to give them a cuddle? Do we need to show them that we love them in the way that they will feel loved? So a very special connection experience for me. I had to learn all of those the hard way. I hope that you can learn from my mistakes and from my successes. And that for me, if I ask you the question, what's the difference between a good trainer and a top level personal exercise coach? Could it be the personal, because we find out all about our client, not only how to get them fit and strong because we adapt it to their lifestyle, but we make them feel acknowledged, respected, accepted, understood, and touched.